Say it too. Thank you, Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir. Fantastic. And yes, you have heard that before many times because it is the Black National Anthem, because it's a fabulous piece of music and it sure tells the message that we all need to hear and hold on to, keep in our hearts and act out in our lives. Today is February 28th. How that's possible, I don't know, but it is. And it's the last official day of Black History Month. And so that's my excuse for being able to repeat the song. Let every voice, lift every voice and sing. So, Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and man, it just never stops. February used to be the quiet month, and March too, but not anymore in the arts, alive and well. Today also, by the way, is another Buy Nothing Day. Nothing but essentials. And if you buy, try not to use a credit card and buy locally. It's not just my advice, but I'm taking it and I hope you will too. It's going on all over the country. We need to pull together and speak out with our pocketbooks along with our voices. Which reminds me, on March 4th, there will be rally over by the Maritime Museum to give yourselves community, ourselves community, again, all over the country. These are happening. So, what's it for? It's for peace, healing, justice, fairness, respect, human dignity. You get it. Sending out hopes that some of this will happen in this country, the United States of America, in Palestine and Israel, Ukraine and Russia. Ugh. Afghanistan, Syria, Haiti. I think you could just drop your finger anywhere on the map. But there's always lots of good stuff going on. And the arts certainly help that along. Sending out special healing wishes to Lulu and Gina and Hope, Janet, April and Rebecca, Lisa, Brother Bob, and Cousin Sue, and you and me, for all of us. May there be healing, body, spirit, mind, and heart. Strength to go on. And celebrations, because today is Sydney Stevens' birthday. And happy birthday, Sydney. Woohoo! And today and tomorrow, well, somewhere between today and tomorrow, is Brandy and Jason Huss's anniversary, because they got married on February 29th, 1999. Leave it to them, of course. Happy anniversary. We love you. Part of the theater world as well as so much else. To Megan Caseborn, to KMUN people, Jessica Schleif, Sally LaCaff, John Rippey, to Gigi, my brother Donald, happy birthday with love, Freebo, and you, if you have a birthday sometime this year, we wish you a very happy birthday. Well, I've got a packed show, so I am going to start with Adria. Oh, no, I asked you about your first name, but I forgot. Okay, let me see. Is it pronouncing this in an Italian way?
You got to get your hand going on
okay.
That. Yeah, yeah.
But then it should be Badagnani.
That's exactly it. The G is silent. Like
exactly.
Lasagna.
Like, and Modigliani. Mm-hmm. Phew, made it through. Folks, yeah. It's a great name, but I bet you have to spell it for all sorts of
every
people.
Every time.
It is here from the Hoffman Center for the Arts. She is the... With congratulations, she is the new writing program lead, and she's here to tell us about the Manzanita Writers Series. They've got an event coming up on March 21st. I'm going to give this to you, even though Dee Dee Jackson is a heck of a lot easier to pronounce than your name, but why don't you tell us what's coming up?
Sure. So the weekend of March 21st through 23rd, it's just right after that spring equinox on March 20th, we have a whole literary weekend planned to kick off the Manzanita Writer Series for 2025. And we have poet Dee Dee Jackson coming to provide us with all kinds of inspiration and renewal. She'll be reading from her collection, her newest collection, My Infinity, as well as from her previous collection, Moonjar. And both of these collections are so topical for spring renewal as they delve into that paradoxical relationship of grief and joy and holding that space as a human, beautiful. As a fully fledged, complete, messy, beautiful human being for having all of these in simultaneity in this life experience that she's writing about too, and continuing that work in her newest collection, My
beautiful.
Infinity.
Now, has she been here before?
She has not, but her husband was here last year, Major Jackson.
Right. From Nashville?
They live in Nashville, Tennessee. They're both on the faculty at Vanderbilt University.
Okay.
And so Dee Dee Jackson will also be offering poetry writing workshops on Saturday and Sunday at the Hoffman Center for the Arts, March 22nd and 23rd, that will be prompt writing, generative, open to all levels of experience. And she has the credentials with which she will bring to instruct.
Apparently she's got lots of practice. Mm-hmm. So how does somebody get in on the workshops?
Well, they can come to our website, which is hoffmanarts.org. That's Hoffman, H-O-F-F, two Fs as in Frank, M-A-N, arts.org. And they will be able to find the registration for the author event on Friday, March 21st, where Dee Dee will read and do some book signings as well. That's an evening event at 7:30.
That is a ticketed event.
Because
we don't do prices, but
we have limited space. So it's important to pre-register as much as possible, and walk-ins will be welcome as space allows.
Right.
And then they can also find the link to her workshop on our website. We offer scholarships also for the workshop.
So what time are the workshops?
For the workshops, they start at 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Both Saturday and Sunday.
Nice. Okay. So you really need to go to hoffmanarts.org. This is all in Manzanita. If you don't know where Manzanita is, I'm sorry. It's that is North Tillamook County, the three villages, Manzanita, Nehalem, and Wheeler. And the Hoffman is very, very rich. It is a small space, but boy, do you pump out the goodies.
We sure do program a lot in visual arts,
right.
Writing, horticulture with the Wonder Garden across the street. The clay studio is there. We have a beautiful gallery space with a new installation opening. Well, it just opened yesterday. The artist reception is this weekend on Saturday.
Okay.
I didn't even have that on the list, but hey, y'all, artist reception from 3 to 5 p.m. with and the gallery was just renovated, so it is looking spectacular.
Okay. And now, when people go for the poetry, the writer's series,
yes.
Do you always, by the way, have poets or
no? No, but I mean, I have an affinity towards poets, and they are a nice draw into the Manzanita writer series. But we will have a lot of genres of writing programmed for this season for the Manzanita writer series in nonfiction and fiction writing as well.
Nice. So what's your connection to the Jackson family? Because the husband came last year, the wife's coming this year.
Yes, well, I have the heart of a poet, and so I think we gravitate toward one another. But I had first met Major Jackson at an environmental writing workshop at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. That would have been summer of 2019. And so, you know, we, the cohort of poets, we developed such a familial unit and really produced some wonderful work. We still write together over Zoom. We're
beautiful.
In different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. So we've stayed in touch. And I think it really is that deeply connective tissue of poetry and the ability to kind of get under the skin of the human experience.
Fantastic. And lucky us. How long have you been here? Manzanita.
On the North Coast.
Yeah, North Coast.
My partner and I moved here in September of 2019.
Right. So you're not here very long.
Super long.
We're fortunate because you've got tentacles all over the country. So lovely to be bringing in folks. Yeah.
It's not a hard sell. This is a beautiful place for artists and writers to come and recharge and exchange.
Good point.
Inspiration.
And maybe write some more poetry because it's such an inspiring area.
It is an inspiring area. It's a generative time of the year. Mm. It's a really great opportunity.
So this is, again, March 21st in the evening and then 22nd and 23rd from 10 to 1 for workshops. The 21st is a presentation by Professor Dee Dee, poetry professor, Dee Dee Jackson from Vanderbilt in University in Nashville, Tennessee, and hoffmanarts.org. You need to register for all three of those.
That's my highest recommendation.
Right. And you can, if you live there, you can just have a walk by.
And our local bookstore, Cloud and Leaf, will be providing book sales at the event and at their new location right on Laneda Avenue. Beautiful new location with also a book signing that's free and open to the public on Saturday evening, March 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. So a lot of opportunities to come into contact with the poetry of Dee Dee Jackson, with her in person, and to connect with community.
Wonderful. And all of this, I presume, is on the website. Yes. So check it out. Even if you can't make this one, check out Manzanita Writers Series, because how long, do you know how long it's been going on?
It's been going on for quite some time. The writing program through Hoffman Center for the Arts was established in 2008, mm-hmm. co-founded by Vera Wildauer and Kathy Hightower.
Right.
So they've been there. There's a long history of bringing in authors locally, regionally, nationally renowned authors.
And of talking about it on KMUN, because those two used to come up here and talk about it. That's why I even knew about it. So
thanks for supporting us all these years, Carol.
Well, it's fantastic because, as some of our other guests will be telling us, what's been happening with ons and offs with the literary arts, poetry is extremely popular right now. We'll hear more about that. Before I let you go, why don't you tell us what's coming up in April, just briefly, because I'm going to bring you back to talk about that on the 4th of April. So
that's right. This is just a foreshadowing as we go deeper into spring. So April 13th, that's a Sunday, we are hosting the annual Airlie Press poetry event. So yes, poetry. April is National Poetry Month. And so we have an Airlie Press is a beautiful Pacific Northwest publication. And so they will have two poets come to read from their works. And we'll also be hearing from our winners of the Neocone Mountain Poetry Prize. Mm. That event on April 13th on that Sunday afternoon is free and open to the public. We do encourage pre-registration simply because space is limited. But especially for all of the poets out there, or people with the heart of a poet who don't yet know it. April 13th. April 13th will be a wonderful opportunity to come into that springtime energy and ride those currents.
That is also on the website?
That will be on the website also. There's a drop-down menu for events when you go to hoffmanarts.org. Right. Events, and that will show upcoming events, not just for the writing program, but also gallery, visual arts, clay studio, horticulture.
I get those emails. It's wonderful. Get on their mailing list. It's beautiful.
We've got something for everyone.
All kinds of, it's true. Adria, thank you so much for coming, and have a fabulous time being the writing program lead. I'd never heard that expression before, so I have to look at my notes. Writing program. What does it mean?
It means that I lead the writing program in programming and scheduling and lots of logistics and scheduling, and Tetrising the schedule. Not unlike what you do in terms of scheduling people and making a cohesive program and galvanizing attention and also engaging in the practice.
So does the Hoffman have a leader in each, like in the clay? I know Ketzel Levine does the garden.
That's correct. And so each program has a lead so that we can bring that unity and cohesiveness to the vision.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming. It's a delight to see you.
Likewise.
Okay. I'm going to put something on, which is happening this weekend. Have a listen, and we'll be back at you. This is at the Little Island Creamery.
Hello, friends. This is Kim Stafford, and I'm glad to be back with listeners at KMUN to talk about the book festival on Little Island, the weekend of March 1 and 2. I plan to have a great time there, hobnobbing with writers and readers, swapping poems and stories with everyone. And I'll be sharing some of my work on Saturday night. A few years ago, when I was Oregon Poet Laureate, wandering little towns all over, people would ask me, what's the use of poems, stories, and books in this wild world we're living? It's a question I keep circling back to. Well, I think clear, thoughtful words and memorable stories can be a kind of oxygen for us these days. They can remind us how to be free, how to do hard things, how to befriend those close to us for the good of all. I'll just take a moment here to read one poem from my book. It's a rhyming poem. They're not all rhyming, but I had to do it with this one. You know, the crows come gather in our house, around our yard every morning, and I was watching this couple, big swaggering male and a sort of a posturing, demure female, and I got to wondering, how do crows recognize each other? They all look the same. So this is called How the Crow Knows Her Love. He has a certain swagger in the way he dips his beak, a syncopated strutting when he gives a tender shriek. I meet him in the shadows to tickle at his chin, to preen his glossy feathers till he shivers deep within. For I know behind his swagger he's a blooming fool for love. I can make him coo with pleasure as if he were a dove. I can make his vision blur, his eyes roll back and blink, and remind him of this later when I give a fetching wink. He makes me swoon with wonder when he flaps across the sun to bring me fragrant morsels, and I know that he's the one to raise our crowlets, teach them verve and zest, so they can swagger like him by the time they leave the nest. Oh, I can pick him from the flock, be they thousands in the trees. He makes my heart beat faster and go weak in wings and knees. When he glances past his shoulder to give that sassy look, I know I've got his number. I can read him like a rook. But how these humans find each other is an ancient mystery. For swarming in their flocks, they're all lookalikes to me. No inky feet and feathers with rainbow hue to spy the one who has that swagger can always catch my eye. How they find their partners is a thing nobody knows. It's a pleasure that's so easy when you live among the crows. Well, friends, I'll hope to see you at the festival March 1 and 2 on Little Island at the Creamery. Love to you all.
And that, of course, was our good friend Kim Stafford. And that is this weekend. So I hope you have your calendars out because there's all sorts of writing going on. We've got one more big celebration of writing coming up with my next guests. But this one is with Kim, is at the littleislandcreamery.net. It's the Big River Book Fest. And it's Saturday and Sunday. So check it out and enjoy it thoroughly. Now, I have two very experienced arts guests in the studio with me. They've both been here a number of times. Nancy McCarthy is, among other things, my Cannon Beach Library specialist. She keeps me aware of what's happening, and she comes in and does a great job telling everyone else. And she also does the lights at the Coaster Theater, which is a lucky thing.
Among other things.
Among many other things. Articles she writes. Well, just keep listening to this show. You'll hear Nancy come back in various guises. But it worked out well because I went to see The Mystery of Marie Roget, Mick Alderman's piece, the original play, directed by Susie Brown and cast fabulously. And this is the last two performances, tonight and tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. So if you can get there, Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Writers Read Celebration and 7th Annual. And Nancy brought one of our ubiquitous writers slash poets, Jennifer Nightingale. Hi, Jennifer. I haven't seen you in, what, 3 days? No.
Carol.
It's quite delightful. Again, the arts are alive, and the literary arts seem to be in their element right now.
Right.
So, Nancy, why don't you tell us about this celebration?
Well, we're going to have Writers Read Celebration on March 7th at 7 p.m. at the library in Cannon Beach. It will also be available online. You can get a link through the Cannon Beach Library's website. And we will have 13 writers from all over Washington and Oregon, and this has gone international. We have a writer from Canada this year as well.
Cool.
She will zoom in on her appearance, but she is from Red Deer, Alberta, Canada.
Beautiful.
So it's an international celebration.
Do you know how she found out?
She apparently comes to Cannon Beach every year, and in fact will probably be here in May for her annual vacation. And she wrote us a poem about an evening walk to Haystack Rock. So we are interested in hearing her. And, of course, Jennifer has been a participant in Writers Read for the last 7 years, for the entire
the
whole time. And this is a blind selection. We got 85 entries.
Fabulous.
This year.
That is fabulous.
And the committee reads the poems and the essays and the stories and the flash fiction and the haikus, and we have no idea who wrote them. And every year, Jennifer seems to get selected. I don't know that happens.
I know. She's good.
Yeah, she must be.
She's good.
Yeah.
She's all over the place.
So
good.
She will be reading two poems for us this year.
Oh, wow.
And
you got in twice this year.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
But you know, they're really good cookies.
That's true. They're homemade cookies. So
I am honored because Jennifer wrote a poem for me for my birthday. Actually, she wrote it before and then she added on, if I'm correct. And so I got 2 for 1 also.
That's great.
So how does it tell us, you may have already mentioned this, but the genres that are represented?
We ask for any genre that they want to submit. This year the theme was the rising tide. And you can take that anywhere you want to go, and they did. And we just we received flash fiction, which is, I guess, stories of 1,000 words or less.
Uh-huh.
And then we got some haiku that will be read. We got a lot of poetry and short stories and essays.
Was there a limit to the amount of time or words?
They had a limit of 600 words per entry, and they could submit up to 3 entries, but it had to be 600 words per.
How did this start?
We have a committee at the library called the Northwest Authors Series Committee, and we just came up with some ideas, and we said this would be great to be able to hear writers from all over who maybe aren't published writers.
Mm-hmm.
We often get published writers that we bring to the library, but we wanted people to have the opportunity to be able to practice their writing, and we have had quite a few non-published writers who have produced some wonderful pieces for us. And then we have some others that are much more experienced, like Jennifer and some of the groups, some of the people from her poetry group as well. So we've had quite a variety of people submitting. And we're really excited about hearing this entries on Friday.
The rising tide. So the date and the time and all the logistics?
It's at 7 o'clock on March 7th. That's next Friday, a week from today, at the library. And if you want to if you can't be there in person to eat the cookies and listen to the pieces, you can Zoom in, and the link will be available on the library website, and that's CannonBeachLibrary.org.
Okay, that's easy. And I have attended some of the readings via Zoom in the past, and it works really well. I was very impressed. It really does. Yeah. So, Jennifer, do you have one of your winning pieces, or are you allowed to do that?
Sure. I do, because if Nancy says I could do it, I could do it.
There you go. She the boss.
We want to give a taste of what people are going to hear on Friday.
This one is called Gifts from the Rack Line. The rising tide leaves gifts, both expected and unexpected. She leaves bundles of eelgrass, sugar kelp, and moon jellies, crab legs, razor shells, and barnacle-infested rope, shotgun wads, tiny bottles of flavored whiskey, bait boxes, and even a dead pinniped. In early March of 2022, we saw images on the news from the Ukraine under siege. Patients buried in rubble and hanging wires. Sooty baby strollers with gray babies. A cello crushed in silence forever amid the rumbling dust. A woman on her knees screaming prayers to an empty sky. Then here on our beach, 8 beautiful sunflowers washed up. They were ramrod straight, knotted together in blue and yellow ribbons, choked with eelgrass, dulse, and gutweed. I gathered them up, plucked away the detritus, and laid them down in the dunes and offered a prayer. Where did they come from? Why 8? I can only suppose somewhere upriver, Ukrainian people with breaking hearts gathered by the shore to find solace, sang hymns in their mother tongue, and let the sunflowers ride the currents. I keep patrolling the rack line, finding lost flowers and lemon rinds, toy soldiers, sealed packs of condoms, a light bulb speckled with barnacles. I take what the rising tide offers and haul away what doesn't belong.
Wow, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Very appropriate for today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope to be able to indulge. 15 pieces, 13 writers, selected from 85 entries.
Mm-hmm.
That is so impressive. This is Cannon Beach. So the website is CannonBeachLibrary.org. It is 7 o'clock on March 7th. And if somebody wants to be there in person, do they just show up?
Yeah, it's free. Admission is free. Just show up. We will have the doors open a little bit before 6:30. And if you want to come in, and we should have plenty of space for you. So please join us. It's a wonderful evening. We have a lot of fun.
That's great. I'm glad to hear plenty of space, because sometimes gets very crowded in there, but
it can be
fun.
But it's fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nancy McCarthy and poet Jennifer Nightingale. They're both writers and crime scene, all kinds of things. But we won't. Another time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, girl.
Thank you.
This is KMUN Astoria, Carol with Arts Live and Local. Don't forget, a week from today, this Monday starts Pledge Drive for KMUN. A week from today is the Arts Pledge Program. But pledge anytime. Just make sure you support this wonderful station. Got some music for you and a couple more guests. Stay tuned. This is Delfeo Marsalis. Yes, that Marsalis. And the name of this is Too Marvelous for Words. I thought that was kind of appropriate after my guests. As I mentioned, is Delfeo Marsalis, and he will be at the Liberty Theater on March 4th. That's Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And you can go to libertyastoria.org for tickets. Although the Liberty is a heck of a lot bigger than the last couple of venues we talked about, so usually will be tickets available, but it's good to get your stuff in advance. I have a short interview with two friends, and I'm going to give the person who started this whole thing and then let Rachel talk about what's going on and introduce Rhonda. So, Rachel Siegel at the AVA, what's happening?
Well, we have a show called Simple Loving Kindness, Art Inspired by Meditation. And this show is being put together by Nancy Karakhan. And both Rhonda and I have been involved by attending meditation with her and making art inspired by that meditation. So it is going to be opening on March 8th, mm-hmm. that's second Saturday, at the Astoria Visual Arts AVA Gallery. And you can find us at AstoriaVisualArts.org. And we will have an artist talk if you show up, it's going to be like 4:30. There'll mm-hmm. probably be some recording and reading of the meditation and discussion of the art. But artists will be lingering there from probably as early as 3 till about 6. The official reception is right in that area, but the gallery will be open from noon to 8 on mm-hmm. second Saturday. Come by 4:30 if you want to hear the talk with the artists.
So you mean all the artists are going to be talking?
We're going to be mingling. It will be a shorter introduction by Nancy and probably a bit of the meditation.
Right.
And if you want to hear a little bit about the meditation, Rhonda's willing to share some of that.
Okay, it's got to be short. And Nancy was here a couple of months ago to introduce the concept to people. She was on the air so that artists would know it was going to be happening and would come in and take part. So, Rhonda. Mm-hmm.
Here's a little sample. May you dwell in your heart. May you be free from suffering, May you be healed. May you be at peace. May your heart flower. May your heart be ever open.
And the meditation is in three parts. It's for yourself, for a loved one, and for the universe, for everything, right. All beings. And it's a meditation by Stephen Levine. I mean, he's taken this and put this one together. It's based on a Buddhist practice.
Yeah. So. Does he pronounce his name Levine?
Well, we were discussing that. Levine. Okay. It's like tomato, tomato.
Yeah. But it's up to the caller, and I don't know how he says it. I think I have his book in my car. Okay, so this is going to be first Saturday of March, which is a week from tomorrow, and galleries all over the town of Astoria will be showing art from 12 to 8. But receptions mostly are in the evening, sort of 5 to 8, or in your case, starting at 3, or come for the talk at 4:30, which is great. And the AVA Gallery is on 10th and Duane. It's that wonderful big blue building. And we say thank you with gratitude to Glenn, the man who conceived it and built it, and recently passed and left this planet, another person who's gone, but left behind an incredible number of studios, and the AVA is downstairs, the studios are upstairs. So, simple loving kindness. How can you go wrong? And how has the experience been?
It's been great. It really needed in these current times.
Totally.
We really, really need this.
So was it mostly a silent meditation and then you wrote, or?
It was guided. Nancy guides you through the meditation.
And you're writing as she's guiding, or no?
Sometimes we would draw.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Each person... mostly with your eyes closed, letting imagery come, and then maybe using that imagery then to make your artwork. And Rhonda made this beautiful painting. I don't know if she wants to describe a little bit of it based on what she saw in her meditation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll have to come see it.
Yeah. You'll have to come see it because we are... we squeezed him in because we want you to know about it. Rhonda, what's your last name?
My last name is Piasecki.
Oh, that's right. I know that one. I love that one. Piasecki. Yeah. We've had some real good names on this show. And then we have the rest of us who, you know, kind of get along. So, Rachel and Rhonda, congratulations. How many people were involved?
There's at least 25 artists that will be in the show.
Wow.
Possibly more.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, good for her. Nancy Kerrigan is an artist. She also... is a therapist. So she puts her worlds together in this way. And this sounds like a real winner. So great. Thanks for coming in. Sorry we don't have more time, but we'll have to go and see the show. It's true. And I invite you all to do so. We have some jazz coming up now. Not Marsalis, but we're going to talk about someone else, and someone's else, another fabulous festival. And I'm excited to hear about this because you old-timers know that KMUN used to broadcast the Seaside. It started as Astoria and Seaside Jazz Festival. Then it went just to Seaside. KMUN broadcasted for years, and it closed down. Takes leadership. And here we have one of the leaders who took over, and that is Carrie Bond. And we're going to talk, she's going to talk about the Seaside Jazz and Blues Festival.
Yeah. Yep. We're all ready for March 14, 15, and 16. We're starting off Friday with the Seaside Jazz and Blues High School Showcase.
Give us an overview first.
Okay.
What When did you, I think this is only the second year you're
this
doing
is our
this?
Second year.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband and I moved to Seaside in 2021. And we were thinking about putting on some music shows, and we were looking up references to jazz around the area. And we saw that there had been a show, the Seaside Jazz Festival, that died out in 2018. And we were kind of noodling on maybe bringing that back to life. And then something really tragic happened. And that was the death of a very young man, Kyle Rieger.
Oh, yes.
He was 26 years old, first-year teacher, fresh from Missouri, loved Seaside, did a fantastic job with the kids. They had a jazz performance at the Times Theater. And that week, he was killed in a car accident on 26.
Oh, gosh.
And having some school trauma background in my life, I said, we need to turn this into something positive. Absolutely need to turn this into something positive. So we decided we were going to bring back and tweak the Seaside Jazz Festival, call it Seaside Jazz and Blues, mm-hmm. and it is a fundraiser for a memorial scholarship in Kyle Rieger's name.
Beautiful.
Money goes to... Kyle really wanted a fund to support students that couldn't afford instruments. So part of the money goes to that. Some of it will go to band camps for students and a named scholarship for a graduating senior that wants to pursue music in college.
Mm. So what was Kyle's position at Seaside?
He was the band teacher.
He was the band.
He was the band leader.
He was 28?
26.
26 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. A whole life ahead of him.
I know.
Well, I'm so pleased that you and your husband picked this up, because I remember hearing about you, Studio 138.
Yes.
And are making this part of the community, and the students gives them an opportunity.
Exactly.
To be part and to celebrate someone and to understand how precarious life can be. So now... I think you started to say Ilwaco High School Band is going to come and play. Is that what you said?
No.
Seaside Band?
So, well, the Seaside Jazz Band opens the festival for us. But from last year to this, we tweaked a little bit. We say tweak it till we make it. and we decided with the high school band teacher, Josiah Glazer, that we would have a high school jazz competition.
Oh.
So we have 7 bands coming this year.
Oh, my goodness.
And they will be competing on Friday. And then...
Are they all high school bands?
There are 6 high school bands and 1 middle school band that really, really wants to play.
Sweet. Where are they from?
They're from around the area, and a couple from Portland are coming out to participate.
That's fantastic. So, that's Friday.
That's Friday. We're really hoping to build that up, and I think after this year, that's really going to take off.
That could be a standalone, too.
Yes, really. It is it's a qualifier for jazz bands to go to state.
Aha!
Very
beautiful.
Exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is Friday. This is March 14th, which is 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today, I know.
And is all this happening at the Convention Center?
It is all at the Seaside Convention Center.
Right. You can't miss it, folks. Before I let you go on with the program, is there a website people can go to?
Seaside138.com.
Okay, there's the 138. Good. Okay. Boy. Do you have a bunch of volunteers working with you, or is it?
Well, we have some students from Seaside High School that are volunteering as part of their Pacifica project.
Oh, great.
Their student volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. We have 3 seniors that are working with us this year. It's pretty cool. Last year we had 1, but his buddies were in younger classes, and so they came and helped. And this year they're like, we want to participate
now, it's our
too.
Turn. So wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the best healing. You know, I always talk about arts being healing. This is the best way, is to take all that energy and the sadness and the grief and the talent and
yes. turn it into something positive.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yep. So this weekend, though, the 14th through the 16th, you've got more than just Friday night. What's happening?
We do. Yes, we have a full day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. We have jazz and stuff to dance by. So, like I said, the Seaside High School Jazz Band will kick us off at 11 with a tribute also to Kyle Rieger, followed by the Lorna Baxter Septet, the Dimitri Matheny Group, and I understand you've had Dimitri on the show.
Haven't. He's wonderful, yes.
The Michael Rayner Quartet, Adriana Wagner Trio, the Billy Eidson Band, Bridgetown Sextet, and closing us out will be the North Coast Big Band. So this year we decided we were going to focus...
The whole North Coast Big Band?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. Friday night there will be a show with our focus on local music. We have this wonderful group of musicians that have kind of put themselves together for a two-set show on Friday night. So we'll have that high school competition, and then that evening, starting at 8, we'll have the North Coast Jazz Ensemble with Roxanne and Dusty Hill. Chelsea Lefay will be singing and accompanying them. Mm-hmm. R.J. Marks, Clarence Robinson,
et
cetera.
These are, I think Dave Drury's in there,
Dave
too.
Drury as well, yes. He's
used
wonderful.
To be a jazz programmer here.
Yep.
Boy. That Friday night is going to be packed to the gills, huh?
We hope
with the
so.
High school. Yeah. Well, then the idea, folks, is for you to check out the website, send it out to other people who may not hear the show or see the local ads, and fill up that convention center. This is locally put together. Now, some of those bands are from where? I didn't recognize.
Dimitri Matheny is from Arizona, I believe. Billy Eidson is from Eugene. And the rest, all but two other bands, are all from Portland.
Okay. So you know these people. Did you used to live in Portland?
Or? Well, my husband and I are from the Portland area, but Greg actually spent 32 years shooting television for Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Oh.
And he did a lot of work on a show called Oregon Art Beat.
Oh, yes. I think we've heard of it.
Yes, and you'll find his name in many of the credits.
Okay. So you know all these artists.
Exactly. And both of my kids... And one of Greg's kids were in jazz band, of course, and met all the greats, Mel Brown, Carlton Jackson.
Yeah, we are
just
so rich.
On and on.
Portland was the jazz center for years. So, so that's the idea, is the convention center is the biggest venue we've experienced today. At the Liberty is 650, and the Hoffman and the Cannon Beach Library are smaller. Uh-huh. But the convention center is
about 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think it behooves this community to get the word out. Now, the Portland musicians will too, but this is benefiting our kids.
Yeah.
See, I get teary just thinking about it. Thank you so much, Carrie Bond. Is your husband Greg?
Greg Bond.
Bond also. Mm-hmm. Okay. Never know with
And I
names.
Know he's listening there in Portland.
Okay. Well, terrific. The website again is seaside138.com. I think that was an address at one point. Address. Yeah.
Well, our gallery was Studio 138.
Yeah. Was.
Was.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Right. But I'm so glad you stuck around and are making this happen for the community. And it's going to be fantastic. So this is second. How did it go last year?
Well, the show was awesome. We had Jimmy Harrod as our headliner on Friday night.
Delightful.
And we had a lot of wonderful bands. Unfortunately for us, it was 10 days after the horrible February, beginning of March ice that we had.
Gosh, yes.
And it was 72 degrees at the beach, and nobody wanted to be inside.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So like I say, we're tweaking it till we make it. And this year, our hours are later. And what are you going to do after dark?
Right. And involving all these young musicians.
Yes.
Which is something we like to do. Okay. Well, music is happening in my ears. I don't know whether anyone else can. Okay. Seaside Jazz and Blues Festival, March 14th to 16th. I presume you can get tickets at the door.
Tickets at the door or online.
Yeah, or online.
Yes.
So check out that website and just put your schedule together, seaside138.com. Thank you so much for doing this, Carrie and Greg Bond, and for coming to KMUN to share the information.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. I'm going to give a little bit of what else is happening. And maybe I'll play some of Delfeo Marcellus in the background. It's not the same artists, but it's the similar genre. Tonight is it's the last weekend for a couple of plays. I mentioned The Coaster, Mystery of Marie Roget in Kennett Beach. Also, Papa is Dear Jack and Dear Louise at the Fort Columbia Theater in Chinook. And that's at 7, Coaster 7:30. And they are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also, The Mouse Trap. I have a bit of a soft spot for that. That is happening. It's the longest running play. It's at the NCRD in Nehalem. By the Riverbend Players. It's 7 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. That goes through March 16th. And we did that play 100 years ago here in Astoria, and I was Miss Caseborn. So that's why I'm kind of partial. But Marie Roget was pretty amazing. And Saturday, Gearhart and Seaside are both having their art walks, Gearhart 2 to 5. Seaside is back 5 to 7. And we mentioned the Little Island Creamery Big River Book Fest Saturday and Sunday. And at the 1015 Theater at 3:30 on Saturday, the one act that won, the one act wonders, Conflict, directed by Deborah Jensen, is heading to the American Association for Community Theaters. So come 3:30 tomorrow and check it out and support all the writers, all the plays. El Waco Artworks is featuring Janet Darsher, former KMUN programmer, and Sahar Rosenbaum. And that's from 6 to 9 in El Waco. It's a collaboration is the name of the part. And Push Dot Studio is here in town, so 12 to 4 tomorrow, 1217 Exchange. And the Hoffman has an opening from 3 to 5. On Monday starts the KMUN Pledge Drive, and Delfeo Marcellus at the Liberty Tuesday, El Waco High School at the Liberty on March 5th. And that's it, folks. Thanks for being here. Please, please, do what you can to make peace.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live at KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.